Loving Sairam and hearty welcome to you, Mr. Padmanabh Pai, to the studios of Sri Satya Sai Media Center. You are someone who was fortunate to attend the 1972 summer course in Vrindavan, the very first summer course. Please, can you take us back to those days and your memories of that beautiful occasion?
Sairam. Sairam to all. It was in the year 1972, and it was in the month of April that the family happened to be in Vrindavan. It was my parents' 25th wedding anniversary, and we were all in Vrindavan in the morning. Swami came out for darshan. He spoke to my father, and my father told him about it. And he said, he didn't say anything. He went inside, gave darshan, and he went inside. And we thought we will wait for the evening darshan. And at about 12:30 in the afternoon, Ram Ramam, you know, who was the caretaker in Vrindavan Ashram at that time, came running out and said, Swami is calling you all. So we went inside. And Swami, as soon as we went inside, said, you got married 25, told my father and my parents, you got married 25 years ago at the same time, 12:30. So that's why I'm calling you now.
Oh, wow.
You know, yes, it was, we ourselves didn't know, you know, why he was calling
us.
You
had forgotten, parents themselves
absolutely,
had forgotten.
Absolutely,
they got married at
12:30. Absolutely. So we went inside and Swami materialized a beautiful blue stone ring for my mother and spoke to the family. Then we had taken some fruits and sweets and everything. Swami gave us those fruits, you know, bananas and apples and things like that. Then as we were just coming out, he asked me, when are you going to be done with the exams? You know, and I said, Swami, May 1st, I'll complete my exams, you know. He said, I'm conducting a summer course in Indian culture and spirituality. I want you to be part of it. Why don't you come after your exams? I said, okay, thank you. I took Swami's blessings, took Padmaskar. I readily agreed. And I completed my exams on May 1st. I was doing my engineering at Karnataka Regional Engineering College in Suratkal, one of the regional colleges, RECs. You call them NITKs now. And I took the night bus and came to Vrindavan. And I waited outside. Remember those beautiful fig trees? You know, I stood outside with my bag and baggage. You know, around 8:30, Swami came out. And as he came out of the gate from a distance, he saw me. And before that, I had gone to the registration counter. They said, no, the registration is all full, you know. And I just didn't know what to say. I just waited outside. Swami came, called me. And then at that time, I still remember, I just want to say, I used to wear some a black string kind of thing. We used to call it Kashidar. So he just pulled it out of my, he said, what is this? Swami, I said, Swami Kashidar. He had a hearty laugh about it. And then one of the students, you know, commerce colleges started at that time in Vrindavan. And he called one of the students who was running around, called him and removed his badge and put it on me.
Oh.
And that was a registration for me, you know. And because Swami came out, all the teachers and organizers, everybody was looking at it. So they couldn't say no to me now. And they said, petrol pump ko jao, because there was breakfast going on. And he very well knew that I was very hungry because I had dinner the previous night at 7 o'clock before I got into the bus. So he told me, petrol pump ko jao. And then that's how I was admitted to the summer course.
Directly he put the badge on you?
Directly. He put the badge himself, so nobody could complain, you know.
Wow.
You know, and he said, petrol pump ko jao. I went inside and the hall was full, you know, but they made room for me to stay. And I was there. You know, from day one, I think I would like to stress this point that my entire life changed after I attended the summer course. That was a turning point in my life. We were going to Swami from childhood, no question about that. But the spiritual angle, I was never exposed to. We were always having bhajans at home, all kind of activities, but that my involvement was not to that extent after till I got to the summer course, because the kind of the routine that we had in the morning, omkaram, suprabhatam, and then yoga classes, and then all, and we had some of the top people to teach us various subjects on, you name the subjects, and we had teachers for it. We had Professor Gokak, one of the probably the finest speakers I've come across in my life. Some of the topics that he covered was unbelievable. And then we had Professor G.P. Rajaratnam. His talks on world religion, you know, I still have the notes with me. Something is, you know, the whole concept of world religions was, this is where I learned about it. And then we had a lot of guest speakers. We had General Kariyappa. I still remember him saying, you know, Swami should just love him, I think. And he made him speak. He was introduced as General Kariyappa. We have a VIP today. He came onto the stage and said, I am not a VIP. I am a VOC. You know what that means? He says, I am a very ordinary chap. You know, things like that. I still remember every word of that, you know. And then we had, Swami used to come, go around, the classes were going on, and Swami would come, walk around the class, talk to students. You know, this was a summer course for, not for the college students like he did later on. This was for the organization. All the first generation devotees, I could call, or these children from across India. You know, about, I think it was 300 boys and 300 girls from across India that they were there in the classes.
For over a month.
For a month, exactly for a month, from May 1st to May 30th. And a couple of things I'd like to, you know, very humorous things that happened in class. And some of the lessons we learned from Swami. He reprimanded us, you know, the students who didn't behave. Two or three incidents I'd like to share with you. The first incident was one afternoon, like 2:30, 3 o'clock. You know, the food that Swami gave us was unbelievable. We were really wondering how we could eat all this and sit in the class in the afternoon. You know, half the classes would probably doze off, you know. And Joy Ice Cream Factory was right across, you know, right on the hill there. And ice cream would flow like Ganga all the time, afternoon, lunch, dinner, ice cream, all the time, you know. And then there was classes going on, and the topic was, I still remember, something on Vedas. And, you know, the boys were all, and the students that were there in the age group of 18 to 20, and too young to understand all those Upanishads and things like that. But we had a lecture going on that, and Swami came, walked right to the back of the class, and there was this gentleman, American gentleman, who used to take us physical instructions. You know, we had physical instruction classes also. So he was sitting at the back, and on a good lunch like this, he was snoring to glory. You know, literally snoring to glory with a wide mouth like this. And Swami went near him, stood about a foot from him, materialized a plum that size, you know, and just popped it into his mouth.
Oh, my God.
And when this gentleman woke up, when he saw what was happening, you know, a plum in his mouth, Swami with his red robe standing in front, it was a sight to see, you know.
See, he was literally speechless.
Absolutely.
His mouth
was speechless. Full. And people in the front didn't know what was happening. Everybody was, you know, laughing and things like that. He said, don't talk, don't smile, don't... No noise. You know, then that
just
was one incident.
He was going around, even when the classes were going on.
Absolutely. He would go around, you know, once in a while he would ask, how is your father? Where is your father? And things like that. And another incident that happened was one particular boy, I think he got into trouble of some misbehavior. But nobody noticed it. Nobody knew what happened, actually. So Swami came and fired him. You know, Swami took him to task as the classes were going on. And then this boy was crying, you know, he was one of the big guys at that time. And he was denying whatever Swami was saying. And Swami fired him, then he started crying, he agreed what Swami said, told him and things like that. And that was the end of it. And then that same evening, every evening we had bhajans. You know, all the students who were singers were made to be in the bhajan group and sit in the front and sing. Every day, 6 to 7 was bhajan. Then 7 to 7.30, Swami would speak to all of us. That was the daily routine. And Swami came out for darshan in the evening, went out for darshan, came inside the class. He was carrying a pretty big parcel in his hand, and everybody was wondering what it was. And he was walking around the class looking for this guy whom he had reprimanded in the morning. He called him. Gave him the packet, asked him to open it. He opened it. There's a beautiful mouth organ inside. Oh. Beautiful, a big one, you know. And Swami knew he was playing the mouth organ. So told him to come with him, took him all the way to the front, to the bhajan group, made him sit there and said, from today, you're going to be playing the mouth organ for the bhajans every day. You know,
wow.
That was another incident.
I mean, he was channelizing that boy's energy.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And then the third incident was, I think one of the boys smoked.
Oh.
Right behind the toilet blocks in Vrindavan, the old toilet blocks at the back, he smoked in the morning. And Swami came and said, don't smoke. Swami, I don't smoke. He says, no, you smoked this morning. And again, he was arguing with Swami. Swami, in front of all of us were there, Swami materialized a photograph, a Polaroid picture.
Uh-huh.
You know what a Polaroid
yes.
picture is? And that picture, this guy was standing there and smoking. And when he was smoking, there was a cow at the back. Even that cow's picture was there in that Polaroid picture.
Exact.
Absolutely. The
frame.
The time he smoked, everything was there. The time, even the time was written on that photograph.
Wow.
And then he fell on Swami's feet. Swami, I will never smoke in my life and things like that. I mean, he made all of us see that because he wanted us to strictly follow that thing, don't smoke, you know, kind of a thing. Another incident I would like to, very moving kind of an incident. Mother Ishwarama was there all through the summer course. She was from there from day one. And one of the days, from between May 1st and May 6th, you know, we, unfortunate that we lost her at that time on May 6th. So during that period, one of the boys was standing outside the class. She came in the morning and saw the boy and asked him, why are you here? You know, she said, Professor Gokak asked me to stay out of the class because I was talking to somebody in the class during his lecture. So he said, don't come into the class, stay outside. From tomorrow, you don't come into the class. So, yeah, I'm meeting up. She, you know what she did was, she stood with him.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, every morning, Professor Gokak would walk in around 10 o'clock to the class. And as Professor Gokak came and approached her, she asked him, she told him, you know, pardon this little boy because children make mistakes, you know. Please let him inside the class.
Oh.
I think, and Professor Gokak immediately let him inside. And
wow.
That compassion that she showed, standing there waiting for Professor Gokak to come, was something that really was phenomenal. You know, that story, even we quote this during Ishwarama Day celebrations and all that, because we want to tell people the kind of compassion Mother Ishwarama had for all of us.
And she was so active. I mean, it was just maybe 2-3 days before she left her mouth
coil.
Absolutely. Till the end, you had her heart flowing out.
No question about that.
Wow.
And we had so many dignitaries come to Vrindavan, being close to Bangalore, you know. The governor would come on Sunday. Sundays was cleaning for us. Cleaning of the entire ashram garden. All the children would be cleaning Vrindavan ashram. I still remember I was walking around with a broomstick cleaning, and Swami was showing the governor this. I'm having summer course for these children from across the country. 300 boys, 300 girls. Look at these boys cleaning. And he called me. He said, he showed me to the governor. He said, he's an engineer. You know, and he's cleaning the ashram, you know, like a big thing. I was feeling so embarrassed, Swami telling that. But, you know, that's the kind of, he wanted to tell the governor that we are students, but we are working and doing seva. You know, this is the kind of thing. And literally, I'm telling you, all the 600 students who were there, at the end of the 30th day, we didn't want to leave. We didn't want to leave. The kind of motherly love we got from Swami, the attachment and the, you know, Swami's involvement and physical proximity, everyday darshan, hours together Swami would be with us. You know, that was the thing we really missed. The last day, most of the students had left and we were about 30, 40 because the parents had to come and take them away or some of the family members had to come and take them away. So we were about 35, 40 waiting for our parents to come to pick me up. My father was supposed to come and pick me up. We were there, we were standing outside Swami's ashram. Swami called us inside. And then he materialized a bunch of Swami's visiting cards.
Oh.
We were 35 of us. Can you imagine? And he materialized. And that particular photo, that bunch, had a rubber band on it.
Oh.
You know, when he materialized, there were 35.
Wow.
And he went on distributing exactly 35 students. 35 visiting cards were materialized by Swami. With that. And literally, I'm telling you, the photograph I have was kind of wet. It was like just made in the studio, you know. And he gave us all and he said, keep writing letters to me. I never did though. I thought Swami knew everything. I didn't really felt that I should be writing letters to Swami, you know. But that I carry that with me wherever I go. That's my, you know, it is raksha for me, you know.
Wow.
And somehow... summer course ended and we all went back home, but carried those good memories all along. I have shared this experience with every single group that I have had this opportunity to, because I wanted everybody to know what Swami did.
Even though you were not a student of Bhagwan's college,
absolutely not.
He gave you that experience in that 30 days. It was a power-packed experience of being a Sai student, and that is definitely a life-changing
absolutely
moment.
Absolutely. I fully agree. Yeah.
Beautiful. So, even though you came to Bhagwan for the 1972 summer course, but you had the chance to see Bhagwan much earlier, isn't it? Even when you were like 7-8 years old.
Absolutely.
So take us back to that time of how Bhagwan entered into your life.
It was 1961, and the family had a pilgrimage to Tirupati. And on our way back, the car driver said, there is Sathya Sai Baba in Puttaparthi. They say he is the reincarnation of Shirdi Sai Baba, because my father was a devotee of Shirdi Baba. He had gone to Shirdi a couple of times before that. Then my father was not in a, you know, he was not, he just decided not to go to Prashant Nilayam, to Puttaparthi. We went back to Mangalore. Within about a month, my grandfather, my father's father, he was sick and he was diagnosed with gangrene in one of his legs, and his leg had to be amputated. My father's first cousin, doctor, he was the principal of the local Kasturba Medical College, Dr. M.P. Pai, he was wanting to, he said, I have to amputate the leg. There's no question about that. We cannot do without it, you know. And there was a lot of apprehension as to whether he will survive that operation and things like that. He was hardly 57, 58 years of age. But finally, then my father suddenly remembered about what the driver had told my father. So, 5 or 6 of these with his friends, he started for Puttaparthi just to see whether he can get some guidance. So, 5-6 of them in a car, they started for Puttaparthi, and it took them almost, my father was telling me, almost one full day, 20 to 23 hours to reach Prashant Nilayam, because they didn't know the roads to here. Bangalore itself used to be at that time 12 hours, another 8-9 hours, so because they didn't know the roads. Finally, they reached Prashant Nilayam in the dead of the night. And outside the gate, there used to be like, you had to go and take a shower, pay some money, get some hot water, one bucket of hot water. You know, it's all, we did that after that. So he came, and then they went and sat for darshan on the veranda. Everybody used to sit on the veranda. Swami came out. The moment he came out, he saw my father and he said, MYX765, Fiat, white Fiat car. You know, you got lost everywhere, but I was the one who showed you the way. He said, go inside, all of you. You know, a car number he was quoting, the car that we...
I am the one to show you the way.
I was the one who showed you the way. Come inside. And all of them went inside. And as soon as they entered inside, my father was saying, it was like Swami was saying, you are come here for your father's operation. Ask your brother, you know, your brother out of the blue, he's talking about his brother also. Ask your brother to go ahead and amputate. The leg has to be amputated. It's very bad. You go ahead and amputate, tell your brother and tell your father that I'll be there near the operation table, right to the operation. I will guide your brother in the operation. This is the instruction Swami had done. So he gave prasadam to everybody. And
so there was not an opportunity for your father to express, tell
nothing.
Anything.
They did not even say where they are from, why they have come, nothing. And Swami went on all the details. And then, so at that time, I still remember Swami would give everybody a small photograph, and Swami's photograph, and a bhajan book also. So, the rest of the people, as they were leaving, they all went inside. Swami called my father inside, all alone, and gave him bhajan. He was the only one who got the bhajan book and the photograph. And then he said, next time when you come with your family. You know, that was the beginning of this saga of experiences with Bhagwan. Our family, if I am to say, we were saved by Swami. Our lives, entire life, you know, was the shape to our life. All the decisions of our life were given by Swami. That was the turning point in our life. Rest of those people never came back to Swami, who had come with my father. You know, the story doesn't end there. He came to Mangalore and told told his brother, I had been to Puttaparthi and Sathya Sai Baba. He said, ask your brother to go ahead and operate. he performed the operation, and as he was performing the operation, and the leg was amputated, and the sutures were being put on, my grandfather started speaking. In spite of the heavy anesthesia that he was under, he started speaking. He said, a man by name Sai Baba, he showed the place he was standing with his hand. He was here right through the operation, and he was telling my uncle, he was the one who was guiding your hands during the operation. And just before he left, he said, you are absolutely fine. Don't worry, I will see you again. And he left. And the next 2 hours, he was unconscious. When he came back to consciousness, he didn't know a word of what he had said. Wow. He wanted to make sure that the doctor who was standing there, my uncle, came to know about this. There was another gentleman, another Dr. Kinney, was my mother's elder brother. He was also a surgeon from UK. He had come back from UK. Two of them amputated. You know, both of them became devotees of Swami instantly. That was the...
Just as Swami had promised, I will be with him during the operation.
Absolutely. So, and... within about a month or two, the whole family, all of us came. My father wanted to get going with the first interview itself. You know, we were small children. I was in third standard. I still remember that. And Swami, as soon as we entered, you know, he was very happy that, told my father that very happy that you brought your family with you here. He said, and then he said, boy, he used to call my father very fondly, boy. You know, his name is M.S. Pai, but he used to call him Poi. There is a reason for that also, because we are basically from, we migrated from Goa. And Goa, they don't call Pai, they call Poi, P-O-Y. And he used to call him Poi, you know. And he said, Poi, your life is like, it's in the right of the middle of the ocean, a ship that is right about to break. The ship is about to sink, break and sink. But he said, I'll take care of it. Don't worry. I'll hold by the anchor and pull you down up to the shore safely in your life. Wow. And this was the assurance, divine assurance that Swami gave. And thought, word, and deed, I'm telling you, the next 50 years, that's exactly what Swami did. He took complete control of our lives. You know, not one decision was made in the house without Swami's blessings, without him telling us. So that's how the whole, kind of direction with Swami started, you know.
So your father got guidance from Bhagwan about his business, his children.
Yes, yes. My father's business was, he was in a financial crisis, I should say. He was in a terrible financial crisis. And he had to leave his family house, his family business, and he had to be on his own. I mean, thinking back, you know, at that point, maybe my father was upset, but thinking back, he always used to say, I'm so fortunate that it happened in life because I found Swami. Oh. You know, this was the positive thing that he
took. I mean, that adversity was the opportunity for God to enter into his
absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely. You know, I know, he always used to say that. Such a blessing for me because I found Swami and I got to Swami's blessings, you know. So our entire lives from then on, everything when it came to our education, I was in my... 9th standard at that time. We were here for... my father wanted to talk to Swami about my sister's alliance. And the moment we entered inside, he started telling my father, we have the boy is in Bombay, he said. You go to Mumbai, you know, and, you know, Bombay is an ocean. How can you search for a boy in Mumbai? But Swami said Mumbai, so they went to Mumbai. We had a lot of relatives in Mumbai. So he went to Mumbai and then started telling people that, do you have any devotees of Swami? You know, and Swami mentioned that the boy happens to be my devotee. You know, so they were looking for a boy who would be a family that was devotees of Swami. Then he went to 2-3 places and nothing clicked. Then finally, 2 days before he left, somebody mentioned about this particular house where, you know, there is a boy coming, studying in the U.S. He's coming back to India to get married. So they went there. And when they entered inside, they saw Swami's picture, which they had not seen any other places. Everywhere it was Shirdi Baba's picture or some God's picture. But here they saw Swami's picture. And when they entered inside, and it was, they were so positive. Only thing they said was, we need to send the photograph to the U.S., and the boy has to approve the girl. That's it. That was the only condition that they put. And we had some family connection with them, which they realized only after going there. And then the photograph was given to them with a horoscope and things like that. You know, the photographs were sent to the U.S. And my parents came back to Mangalore. And my father happened to go to Brindavan. He used to go regularly to Vrindavan or Whitefield for some work or the other. And there was a lot of volunteers from Mangalore, Sevadal from Mangalore, that used to go to Vrindavan and Whitefield and Puttavarthi to plant trees. You see, all the coconut trees here in Prashanthi Nilayam and in Vrindavan were all planted by people from Dakshina Kannada district. You know, and one of those trips, when he came back from Bombay, he had to go to Vrindavan. Swami came out and he said, just in front of everybody, he said, "Your girl has been accepted by the boy." You know, my father was shocked. And that night he came back, the next day he came to Mangalore. By then we had received a telegram from Bombay, from the boy's parents. The girl has been accepted and please come to Bombay for further discussions. I mean, they moved so fast. And my father came in and was telling us that Swami said the boy is accepted. We are showing him the telegram here. At that time, you had no mobiles, you know. You had to wait for somebody to come or book a trunk call and things like that. Anyway, then they went to Bombay. And when they went to Bombay, Swami happened to come to Vrinda, the Dharmakshetra, for the Dharmakshetra anniversary. He used to go every year at that time to Dharmakshetra. So he was in Dharmakshetra. My father thought it was better to take them along and go to Dharmakshetra. And in that huge crowd, you know, 20, 25, maybe more, I don't know. They were sitting, my father and the would-be boy's father, they were sitting together. Swami saw them, came there, materialized vibhuti for both of them, wow. You know, and said, go ahead with the alliance. And what else can they, you know, from then on, it went on so smoothly. The marriage took place. When it was time for the marriage, an incident took place. My father had not, an uncle of mine was also a very close devotee of Swami, Mr. Mukunda Prabhu. He always used to be there, he always wasn't a volunteer here. And my father sent an invitation because it was hardly a week before the marriage and Guru Purnima, you know, and my father sent the invitation through him to Swami. Swami, Mukunda Prabhu gave Swami the invitation. Swami fired him. How can boy not give me the invitation personally? How can he send it through you? You know, he was so upset. So he sent a huge telegram to my father. Again, a telegram. Dead of the night, the telegram came. Swami wants you to be in Prashanthi Nilayam for Guru Purnima. So my father started again, went for Guru Purnima. Swami was just meeting Amritam. You know, he put his hand, he got his Amritam. Then that night, evening, you know, Swami called him. Mr. Prabhu and Justice Iradi, the three of them, my father, I still remember that, to Swami's room upstairs. And Swami, first 5 minutes was firing, you know, for not sending the invitation, for sending the invitation through somebody else, not coming here personally. And then it was all love and so much of love. He says, it was not like that. He materialized a pair of beautiful 9 gems, Navaratna earrings for my sister. The big ones, you know, the ones that are hanging like that, shape of the moon. You know, such a beautiful pair of earrings. I said, this is what I wanted to give to your daughter. That's why I wanted you to come and take it personally to your daughter. So that's how, and then the marriage was performed in Mangalore. You know, and life went on and on and on. Every single decision, like I said. So one of the interviews, Swami suddenly turned to me and he said, you do engineering in KREC, Mangalore. And I was not, I was worried when he said that because I'm not a distinction student. Always a first-class student. And, you know, RECs and IITs, you have to have distinction and all that. You did not have entrance exams at that time, but you went by the 12th grade or PU scores. And you had to have 90-plus percentage to get in. And I never got 90%. So, but Swami's Divine Sankalpa, you know what happened? When I finished my PU, there was a total glut of engineers in India. And there were no jobs available for engineers. And the percentage of marks for intake came down in the first list from 90 to 80. The second list, it came from 80 to 70. And I had 78% marks. So I got into KREC, you know. That was such a blessing, getting into a premier institution. It's just soft. Divine Sankalpa, nothing else. You know, I did not, in my wildest dream, I thought I would be an engineer. Because I was not a very, very bright student, as a matter of fact. This is when I finished my engineering. About a year before that, he said, you go to the US and do MS. You do MS in engineering. And I started applying. You know, at that time, you had no emails and things like that, isn't it? You had to literally request for an application. Then the application would come. You fill up the application, send it back. Going back and forth took almost a year. And finally, I got admission. When I came to Prashant Nilayam, we had an interview. Swami said, no, you do MBA now. Don't do MS. Apply for MBA. You will get a seat. You do MBA. So I, the whole process went on. In the meantime, I joined my father's business. For a year or two, I was in Mangalore. 74, I completed my engineering and I was in Mangalore. I applied for my master's in business administration in quite a few colleges. I got admission into three colleges, went to Chennai, got my student's visa. And I had to choose between the three colleges. I put a lottery. You know, I wanted to know, sit in front of Swami and took a lottery. And it said, University of Hartford in Connecticut. You know, I said, okay, this is a college for me. I chose that, went to the US with I-20, got my admission into the college and things like that. Then when I went there, then I realized why, when I took the lottery, I got this particular institute, a university, because that was one of the places that had the largest Satya Sai centers in the US. The Sai mm-hmm. centers in the US. An American couple by the name Cleggans, you know, they were husband and wife, they were running the center, and it was practically 99% of them were Americans who were there. And most of the centers you go to the US, you see a lot of Indians. But here, Hartford, maybe there were not too many Indians at that time. And most of these devotees who were coming to the center were Americans. And the day I called him, he was so happy. He immediately came, picked me up, took me to his house, you know, and then he said, we have been praying to Swami. We wanted somebody from India to come and teach us bhajans, you know, the Indian bhajans, you know, Chitta Chora, Yashoda Ke Bar, all those bhajans. And they were all singing American bhajans and English bhajans, but they always liked these Indian bhajans, and they couldn't pronounce those words properly. So the next 1 year, I was going to the university, but I did not miss the center even for a day. Every week, the center I went, and over the weekends, we had bhajan training sessions. I used to swing in my Mangalore center at that time, and from childhood, we have been singing, so I'm not a great singer, but I could teach people how to sing bhajans. You know, I did that. You know, and I completed my master's in business administration with marketing and international finance, two subjects. And then one fine morning, my parents called me, said, Swami is coming to Mangalore. And I said, I don't think I can come because my visa doesn't permit me to come. I said, I was feeling very bad that Swami is coming to Mangalore and I can't be there. But when he came to Mangalore at the airport, he asked my father to sit in the car in front. He said, sit in the front. So at the back, Swami was sitting along with Colonel Jogarao. And they were sitting and they were going towards Manipal. And the first question Swami asked him, what is your son doing? And Swami said, as per your instructions, he has just completed his MBA, looking for a job. Swami said, I want to perform his marriage. I have got selected a girl for him. And tomorrow I'm coming to your house. And by then you call him and find out if it's okay. If I have selected a girl from him, will he accept the girl? So my parents called me in the night. You know how difficult it was at that time to book a trunk call and get a connection and things like that. And then fortunately, I was able to talk to my parents. And I told my parents, I still remember my mother telling me, it could be a Telugu girl, it could be a Tamilian, it could be a Malayali girl. Is it okay for you? You know, I said, whatever Swami says is fine for me. That's the best thing that can happen for me. I told them. So next day, Swami came to our house. The first question he asked when he came into the house was, did you talk to your son? Yes, we spoke to our son. He has accepted. And Swami said, I knew even before you told me that he would accept. He would accept whatever I said, he would accept, you know. So he was very happy. He had dinner in our house. And just want to get back to 3 years before that, before I left to the US, Swami was supposed to come to Mangalore, to Alike, actually. Alike Satya Sai Loka Seva Institutions, he was supposed to come there. And then suddenly the founder died and Swami cancelled his trip to Mangalore. And they said, this is not the time to come, I'll come some other time. Because he was coming to Mangalore and we did not have a good bathroom in the house. We had a bathroom outside, common bathroom. Since Swami was coming and he had told us all along, right from 61, that when I come to Mangalore, I'll come to your house. So we thought we should have a good bathroom for Swami. So 15 days, I personally toiled along with the workers. You know, made a beautiful bathroom, an attached bathroom. They had a nice bedroom, but we had, by the side, we constructed a bathroom for Swami. And we kept it locked up. All 3 years that Swami didn't come to Mangalore, we kept it locked up. When Swami came inside, because the Mangalore roads at that time were very dusty. He had come from Chokkadi, he had come from Alike and all these places, toured quite a bit, and very dusty. And Swami said, "Where's the bathroom?" Swami went inside. You know, I was so happy when he said, because I had personally toiled for that, putting those tiles on and the everything, you know, the fixtures and everything. And Swami told my father, "Get the bag from the car." So he brought the car. Swami had shower in our house. You know, such a blessing we had. Swami had shower in the house, then blessed the family and he left. And then about about 2 weeks after that, suddenly my parents were got a trunk call from Colonel Joga Rao. He said, "Swami wants you to come to Brindavan on such and such a date." And in the meantime, what happened was the girl's parents, you know, all the interview room doors, you know, the beautiful carvings you have. You know, my father-in-law was Mr. V.V. Shetia from Karwar, nearby Karwar, Ankola. And he was the one who made all these, you know, even all the doors, windows for these West Prashanti, all these, you know, he was not a manufacturer of furniture or whatever. He was a timber merchant. But Swami made him do all these things. He had about 35 carpenters working round the clock to get things done. And he wanted to put these nice panels on the interview room in the front of the Prashanti Mandir and the Gopuram gate. So the Swami told him to come with those fixtures for fixing here. And at that time, all of them had come. And they came and they were sitting and Swami came out. The moment he saw my father-in-law, he came out and asked, "Did your daughter get married? Or is your alliance fixed for your daughter?" "No." "We know, Swami, you said you're going to look for a good alliance, so I have not done anything." He said, "I went to Mangalore, I fixed a boy, so call the family." So he called the whole family inside and told him about his trip to Mangalore, how he went and talked to them, all of them. And he said, "I've chosen a boy." And he told my wife, "You're very lucky. You've got a husband with a double degree, engineering and an MBA. And you're very fortunate that you've got a boy like this. He doesn't have any vices." He was trying to, you know, tell them that I was a nice guy, you know. And he said, "This is very significant in my life for me. Actually, what happened was when I just completed my engineering, Swami wanted, we had come here for just before Dasara. We had come and Swami gave us an interview and he told my father, "I need a good driver. Can you bring a good driver from Mangalore?" So as soon as we went back, we advertised in the paper and we had about 10 or 15 applications. I sat down in the office, interviewed all of them. First qualification was they should not be smoking. That was the thing. Main thing was no smoking, no drinking, and they should look presentable, you know. So I chose this guy, tall, lanky guy, you know, very presentable, and stitched white pant and white shirt for him because he had to come and I had to present him to Swami. And when I came here, I met Mr. Kutumbrao, and Kutumbrao said, "You go and wait in Punachandra Hall." Swami was coming there to have a look at some of the work that is going on there. So I went and stood there. Swami called me, said, "Swami, you had told my father about the driver, so I bought the driver." The moment he looked at him, he said, "This guy smokes."
Oh,
you know, 100 times I had asked this guy, "Do you smoke?" He said, "No." Then Swami went away. That was the end of it. I went outside and asked this guy, "Do you smoke?" He says, "Once in a while I smoke." I mean, he had to go back. So I stayed here for a month because I had just finished my engineering. I wanted to spend some time. You know, I was living all alone here. Then at that time, I had given a letter to Swami. "Swami, can I be your driver?" I had given me a letter to Swami. "I would like to be your driver." And I left after a month. After Dasara, I went back home. So he was telling them that this boy had come to me after his engineering. He wanted to be my driver, but I told him that I don't want you to be my driver, but I will be your life driver. That was so significant. I mean, I just couldn't believe Swami said that. He said he will be my life driver, and I'm telling you, my entire life, if I go back, every day I can think of, everything is taken care of by Swami. That promise, that sankalpa that he had made at that point, every word by word that has been kept true for me, Swami. Then Swami called my parents and her parents. I was not here. I did not even see the girl. I didn't even know who they were. Swami called them to Brindavan, performed the engagement, in absentia engagement. You know, in my absence. And next day, they called me and they said, "You are engaged."
You're in the US.
Yes, I was in the US, you know, and they said, you are engaged. I said, that is the best thing that can happen to me. So our marriage was fixed. Swami said, I will fix the date for the marriage. Take some time because the boy has to come and things like that. I had some visa issues, which that's why I couldn't come early. It took about a year to come back, you know. So in the meantime, Swami kept talking to both the families, and families were, but not my parents, but the girl's parents were worried, why the boy is not coming, why is it getting delayed and all. But Swami kept telling them, you know, nothing to worry, he will come back, you know. And then finally I got my visa. I was coming about a month before that, they all came here, and Swami fixed the date as July 9th, 1980 for our wedding. He said, I'll perform it in Vrindavan. July, I'll be in Vrindavan at that time, so I'll perform it in Vrindavan. So we came here on the 7th of July, I landed in India, came back to India, and on the 7th of July, we all came to Vrindavan, both the families. And then Swami came in the morning, just ignored us, went inside, and around 9 o'clock or so, he called us inside. I was the first one to enter. He looked at me from head to toe. He said, you look great. You know, what a Kannada, in Kannada, he used to speak in Kannada all the time. He says, all the water from your body has gone. I'd lost a lot of weight at that time, you know, because childhood, Swami used to call me Pakoda, because I was quite hefty, you know. So he said, then I went and sat at Swami's feet. Everybody entered, the girl's parents and the girl, everybody entered. And then he suddenly got up from his chair, went and turned on all the lights. And he said, see your wife. The first time I was seeing her, I saw her in the interview room. You know, the first time.
Wow.
She said, I'll turn on all the lights so that you can see her properly, you know. Turn on all the lights. And then he said, this is Swami Sankalpa. For the last so many years, I've been wanting to do this. I'm very happy that both the family. At that time, he was asking us, do you all speak the same language, you know? And he said, so, yes, Swami, we're of the same community also. You know, but only thing is, they are from North Kannada district and we are from South Kannada district. That is the only thing. Because, again, you know, language of the heart.
Yes.
That was the main thing, Swami. He never did not even ask which community you belong to. Nothing, you know. And then he said, I'll call you back in the evening. Evening, he gave us everybody so many gifts, saris, this, that. Then he said, 8th, tomorrow is Ashtami. Tomorrow, no activity, nothing. 9th morning, you all come inside. So early morning, he sent me my the Angavastram. You know, he had not given it to me. You see how he remembers. He had given me dhoti, but he had not given me that towel. Early morning, 6 o'clock, Kote Lakshminarayan was here at that time. He walked into our quarters and he gave me that. And we all came into Swami's place. And from there, in a procession, we went to the Kalyan Mandap in Vrindavan. And then at that Muhurtam time, Swami came and performed a wedding, materialized Tali for my wife. And he asked her to kneel down and told me to tie 3 knots on that thing, on the Tali. Then he materialized the ring, and holding my wife's hand, he put it on me. And you know, it was a electrifying kind of a... the moment he walked in, and you know, within about 10 minutes, the whole ceremony was over. Then he said, after the program, the ceremony, you all come inside. Some homa and all that had to be performed. Some rituals were there. He had to come inside. We all went inside. Then, you know, that is one thing I felt so good. As soon as I entered, he told me and my wife to go to the room inside. The first room inside, and made us sit there. We have, you know, a thing called a Grah Pravesham. You know, he made us sit there for about 10 minutes on the sofa. Then he asked us to come outside. We had lunch. We had grand lunch in Vrindavan. And the marriage ceremony was over. Then he asked us to, and then he said, within a month, it was the program here, the Guru Purnima here. And he said, all of you should come to Guru Purnima. So we all came here. 2 days before Guru Purnima, he gave us a wonderful interview. The whole family, we were about 12 or 14 of us. And he materialized so many rings for my brother-in-laws, my sisters, everybody. He made us so happy, gave us so much of happiness at that time. You know, that was the grand finale of our the marriage ceremony, you know. So... that's how my...
So you went back to the U.S. after
that? Yeah. Then I went back to the U.S. 1980 December, I went back to the U.S. And 4 years, we got involved, myself and my wife, we got involved in the Seva activities, you know, the Balvikas, everything in the U.S. We had so many centers around, we used to go dedicated centers, Swami Satya Sai centers in the US. Maybe it was not as organized as it is today, but we had centers at that time everywhere. We had retreats. Retreats were a hit, you know. Every year they would have one or two retreats in the mountains, and a very serene atmosphere with a nice lake in the center with clubhouse. You know, the houses, small wooden houses across. All of us would go and stay there, have Nagar Sankirtan in the morning in a very serene atmosphere. You know, things like that. We got involved. And after 4 years, 1984, July, you know, it so happened that I wanted to show my wife the university that I went to. So it's been 3 years, 3.5 years since she was there, and did not have an opportunity to show her. So I came back to Hartford and stayed with that same couple who gave me, they were like my foster parents, you know. They took care of me. I stayed there. That night, 4 o'clock in the morning, of course, we slept, we were talking whole to like midnight, and then slept off. 4 o'clock in the morning, Swami came into my dream, and he commanded me in English. He said, go back to India and join your father's business. And gave me Padma. He said, take Padma Namaskar. You know, that was a significant kind of a command. Because my father was running the business here, and he was feeling very lonely. And he was feeling, it was his 60th year. It was 60th birthday. And he said, he told me later that he was feeling that either I should come back to India or he would wind up the business. We had about 25, 30 people working for us for a long, long, long time. I thought, and this command of Swami, I couldn't refuse at all. It was so real, so more clear than a dream. It was a vision kind of a thing, you know. And the command in English, I don't know, because maybe I was in the US, he never spoke to me in English, but that day he spoke to me in English, always in Kannada. So first time in English, go back to India and join your father's business. And he said, take Padma Namaskar. I woke my wife and he said, and I told her, time to wind up and go. So December of 1984, I came back to India. And it was my father's 60th birthday. You know, and all of us, my two sisters who had come from the US, all of us, we came to Prashant Nilayam. Swami called us for the interview. And as soon as I entered and went and sat, he said, what are you doing? Where are you now? Swami, as per your instructions, I told him, Kannada Dali. In Kannada, I told him, Swami, like you said, like you blessed me, I have come back to India, I have joined my father's business. He raised both his hands and sitting there, he blessed me. And she said, I'm so happy. He said, come here. And this was a green ring that he had materialized and given me during the wedding. He materialized the second ring for me, a diamond ring. And he said, go develop your business. Wow. Swami's grace is with you. Go develop your business. And he said, do all kinds of businesses. He will flourish. My Swami's divine sankalpa, Swami is blessing you, he said. And never didn't look back since. Just business took off with Swami's grace. You know, it just took off. Swami's grace was, you know, whatever we did, it was all positive. And it went on. One daughter was born to us, and we were here. It was Swami's 65th birthday, I think. And we were, and all the people from Mangalore were here in Prashant Nilayam. Every Swami's world conference, 60th birthday, 65th, 70th birthday, 75th, we used to bring vegetables from Mangalore, truckloads, 5 to 6 truckloads. It was like almost 7 or 8 truckloads that year, I remember, consisting of pumpkins and ash gourds and things like that, coconuts, everything. We had a lot of farmers in our, you know, as devotees, from Chokkadi, from Malike and all these places. We came to Prashanti Nilayam. We used to call it Hasiruvani, you know, and then Swami told us to unload it in a godown, and we all came and sat in front. Then Swami called the whole group. We were asked to come to Prashanti Nilayam. We were sitting there. And we sat there with Swami, and Swami gave us a discourse. Half an hour he spoke to us. Then he said, all of you turn around, sit for Padma Namaskar and Prasadam. Entire group, 500 to 550 people, he gave us all Padma Namaskar. When he came to me, he asked, how many children do you have? Swami, one Swami. Oh, only one, okay. Then he went to my, as he was approaching my wife, he asked, how many children do you have? She said, I have one daughter, Swami. Then at the same time, she said, Swami, I want a son, Swami. He again asked her, second time, how many children? One, Swami. Then he turned and said, no, double, double, double. He went on saying, double, double. This is the word he used. Mm-hmm. And he went. And then about 7 or 8 months, twins were born to us.
Oh, wow.
You know, and we came here, 1 month old children, the two twins. We came here, Swami named them Aditya and Kiran. He says, this is my sankalpa, you know, and they are born. The boy is named Aditya, and the Kiran was born later, the sun rays, sun and the sun rays, he said, Kiran. So Aditya and Kiran were born to us. And
Wow. I mean, so every little detail of your life has been taken care of, and at every step he has guided. And at the right time, when your father needed help, he asked you to come back and look after the business, then blessed you, that let the business grow. Can I ask you, as a Sai devotee, over the years, the business has grown. How was it running the business as a Sai devotee? Because there are so many principles that Bhagwan is very particular about how you do your business. You have to be different from any other person when it comes to your principles. So how was it running the business as a Sai devotee?
It's a huge challenge. I'm telling you, as a businessman, it's a huge challenge to run your business ethically. And that's exactly what you need to do when you are with Swami. When you are in the Sai organization, or if Swami's grace should flow onto you on your and your business, you better run your business ethically. There's no question about it. And there is so much of hardship that comes with the conducting your business ethically, but it's worth it. It's worth it, I'm telling you. And Swami would always ask me, every time I came here, when I was running the business, how is the business? He would ask me, Swami, by Swami's grace, things are okay. He told me once, watch your business like this. He took his hand like this, I keep watching your business. You know, we had constructed a new godown at the back of my premises. And when we came here, Swami, I'm constructing a new godown. I told him, yes, I can see it. The painting is going on now. Actually, they were painting.
Oh my God.
Actually, they were painting. And Swami said, don't worry. Swami's blessings are there, you know. And you know, all the statutory requirements of the firm, you know, business has statutory requirements like taxation, the local taxes, the state taxes, the central taxes, the provident fund, the ESI, everything is done meticulously. And the best part of the thing is the attrition rate of my employees is literally, I could say, zero. Very few people leave the job once they are hired in our firm, because they can work with tremendous confidence because they're working in a firm that has the highest ethical standards.
Wow.
You know, that's one thing that I would like to emphasize here, because that's the very few people leave. Only maybe when they are old, they retire, but they work with a lot of confidence.
So they have been with you for 30 years.
30 years, 40. I have a person who has been working with me for 46 years. You know, I hate to send him home because the business runs because of them. We give them so much responsibility. And you know, we are there. I don't need to do micromanagement. I need to do only macro management practically, you know, because they are all taking, to me, they are my family, an extended family, you know, and because of the ethical standards we have in our business, the whole town, you know, the reputation of the business is what counts ultimately. You know, people know that they cannot go wrong by doing business with me. That is the confidence the people have in us, you know, and it's all because of Swami. And people quote, he's a Sai devotee, he can't do wrong.
Wow.
And this is something that every Sai devotee should, think about when he is conducting a business or his profession, whatever profession you are in. As long as you stick to your principles, you know, we are talking about code of conduct. We are strictly following our, the divine charter. We can't just speak unless we practice, isn't it? So that's why I feel we should practice in our businesses. And with a lot of confidence, I'm saying, I can sleep well because I'm doing business ethically, and I'm not, we have lot of, because of that, we get into trouble sometimes, you know, because you're too transparent, you know, but still, it's a challenge. At the end of the day, you know, Swami takes care of it.
You know that this is what Swami will approve, and he'll be there with you.
Absolutely. Yeah, he is with you. Truth is Swami. Swami is truth. And truth is there, Swami is going to be there.
Satya, if you walk the path of Satya, Satya Sai is with you.
Satya Sai is all along, all the way.
Wow. And now you're part of Shri Satya Sai Seva organization as an office bearer, as the state president. How did this happen?
You know, when we went to Kodaikanal, I took my family because summer holidays. My parents didn't come with us. Myself, my wife and my three children, we went to Kodaikanal. We went and sat there for darshan in the evening. We went from Bangalore. We reached in the afternoon. Swami came out and for darshan. He said, when did you come? Swami, this morning, Swami. Just now, just got here, Swami. He asked me a question, why are you here, kind of a thing, you know. Yake bandidi? Said, Swami, I want you to bless my children, I said, in the twins. You know, they were small, but I said, I want you to bless them. They said, Oh, okay, he said. And we were there for 4 days. You know, at that time, summer, Kodaikanal is very difficult to get accommodation. But we managed and we had only 4 days, 3 days and 4 nights. And the last day, the previous day, Swami, the day we were leaving, Swami asked, when are you leaving? Tomorrow, Swami. I said, okay, he said. The next morning, he called us for an interview. And when he called, the both of us told Swami, we want to get involved in the organization. We want your blessings. We want you to... And at that time, Swami said, both your parents, father and mother, are so much involved in the organization. And I want you to take care of the business now. You know, whatever you can, you do, but don't get involved in the organization right now. But you do your business. And whatever work your father does, 50% credit, I'll give it to you. Swami said,
Wow.
50% punya, you will get.
Because you're enabling father to do
absolutely. I said, my father can go anywhere. You know, days together, he would not come to business. You know, he would be in Prashanthilam, he'd be touring his areas. He was in charge of 4 districts at that time. And padayatras from Mangalore, all this kind of thing. And he said, 50% credit, I'll give it to you. So I was running, taking care of my business. Then the whole organization structure changed and they started appointing district presidents everywhere. So my father had to retire and I was made the district president of Satya Sai Seva organization. I did that for almost 10, 12 years. And then recently, not that I'm after any positions or you can, in the Sai organization, the ultimate thing is you need to serve. You know, and it doesn't matter whether you're doing it with the position in, you know, with a position or you're doing it as a devotee, an active worker. But our All India president called me one morning and he said, we are going to split the Karnataka state into two, north and south, for easier management. The vast state is so vast. We have done it in some other states. So is it acceptable to you? I said, whatever you say is fine, sir. Then he told me, give me details of the district that you would like to manage and things like that. So myself and my counterpart in Karnataka South, Mr. Venkat Gosavi, we sat down, we decided on the districts that I was going to handle. So I take care of Karnataka North districts. You know, it's vast. Very vast, 19 districts I need to travel. Unfortunate that we couldn't travel because of the pandemic. We started last March, but again, there was a lockdown, you know, and things like that. But I'm so happy that all the devotees, all the office bearers, state level office bearers, district level office bearers of my Karnataka North are giving me tremendous kind of a support that is needed to run this organization smoothly. And my job as a state president is to motivate them. You know, and I will never say no to the kind of program that say we want to hold in our district. I will never say no because they're planning it and the execution is so beautiful. You know, I just want to quote a couple of things that we did. Recently, last year, during birthday time, we had this house-to-house bhajans. We started off in a small way and within a month, you will not believe, there were bhajans that were held in about 1.5 months. We had bhajans in 6,000 homes in northern Karnataka. 6,000 homes. Every day there were 5, 6, 8, 10 bhajans going on simultaneously. 6,000 homes we had. Home to house to house bhajan. And it was a pandemic and people couldn't go from one house to the other. But they were having, family was sitting together and doing bhajans in 6,000 houses we did. Recently we had a beautiful Veda session from the Aradhana Mahotsava to Guru Purnima. Entire state of Karnataka, both the north and the south got together. We had this Veda chanting from 8 to 9 every morning. We were chanting Rudram, we were chanting Purusha Sukta and Durga Suktam. Every morning we were chanting, you know. And 3 bhajans after that, then that was the program. 77 days we did that. And we had total participation chanters, 15,000 chanters.
Wow.
At the end of the 77-day session. And I feel so happy to say I did not miss even one day. All the 77 days I participated. We had a beautiful valedictory where everybody said we should continue this. And the best outcome of this whole exercise is that more people want to start learning chanting Vedas. And we have a Veda state coordinator. He's having a tough time putting in the groups together. You know, he started training the trainers program to chant, to train the chanters to take classes for these people. Online has really helped, I should say. Even though people can't move, but online chanting or the training has really... Small groups of 20, 25 people in each district are being trained. They have a national Veda coordinators put a beautiful module together, and as per that, they're chanting and doing seva. Then we have a beautiful rural vocational training center in my part of North Karnataka. A kind of work. The 50 villages in and around that RVTC have become Sai villages. I went there, I visited that place. I felt like staying there, literally staying there. The kind of work that is going on there, you know, all those people, those villages are so much involved. All of them have become Sai devotees. Now my seva is going on. About 50 people have come from that, those villages here to do seva. You know, they're all, the people who are working there are so highly motivated, you know, they're spending so much time to do seva in those areas. And all those ladies who are getting trained in the IVTC are getting good placements after their training. You know, the hands-on training that's going on, you know, stitching, all kind of, it is a rural vocational training center. And this is something for everybody to kind of emulate and start such a vocational training center. We want to do that. That's our plan, to have more such centers across Karnataka.
Wow. Yeah. Amazing. And especially in this COVID times, people engaging in Veda chanting, bhajans, you need positive energy. You know, you need people to divert their mind and reduce their fears and fill themselves with God's grace. And I think these are activities which will keep up their spirits. And of course, as you said, there is so much enthusiasm for service. You have to only sort of channelize them. That's it.
Sir. Yes, that's my job as a state president.
Beautiful, sir.
You know,
amazing, sir.
Kannada, they say all these positions are nimitta matra. You know, just for the sake of having it. You need somebody. You need some leader. But your job is to take people or everybody with you. Love all, serve all. You should, the more you love them, more kind of, you know, you motivate them, the more they're going to perform. They go all out, I'm telling you. The kind of, you know, the state president, I feel, they feel, is a representative of Swami. Literally, when we go to the villages and all that, the kind of, the way they behave, it's, I tell them, you know, I'm also an active worker like you. I'm also a sevadal like you. This is what I have to tell them. You know, it's really, I feel so excited. I think this lifetime is not enough for me to do the kind of sunat, the opportunities that we have, and we need to perform. Swami has given us so much in life. Unless I do this, I think my life is not complete.
Amazing, sir. When you think about it, when... you wanted to serve, Swami said, you do the business and let your father continue to serve.
Yes.
And now the time has come when you got the opportunity to serve.
Yes.
And your son is now looking after the business.
My son has joined the business. Swami gave him a dream about 5 years ago. He said, Swami, what should I study? He said, do like your father. So literally like my father did, you know, let me take care of the business, and he took care of Sai work, Swami's organization. And here, my son has moved in and he's taking care of it, taken complete control. Again, Swami, you know, for everything it's Swami. You know, we pray to Swami, you know, and then he has allowed me to take care of the organization. I'm involved in the business, but not 100%. You know, I take care of all the statutory requirements, taxation and all that, but I have a free hand to move wherever I want to go as far as Sai work is concerned.
Serve Swami to your heart's content.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Beautiful. And I think the most amazing thing is what Swami told you before the marriage, that he is the driver of your life.
Absolutely.
And I think that is what continues. And I only pray to Swami that, you know, this beautiful, exhilarating journey with Swami continues, and you spread his love and always live in love. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.